Georgia, Texas, and Arizona are the top three states in 2020 for contributing guns used in crimes committed in other states. That's according to data from the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Our next guests analyzed this data, looked at the wider trends, and followed a murder weapon that traveled over 1,000 miles before its use in a fatal crime. Zusha Ellenson is a U.S. News reporter for The Wall Street Journal who focuses on crime and guns. Zusha, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor.
And Dan Frost is an enterprise reporter for The Journal who writes often about crime in the U.S., also a graduate of Beloit College. Dan, thanks for joining us again.
Good to be here.
Dan, what kind of trends did you pick up on this interstate crime gun trafficking?
Well, when we looked at the data, we realized that there had been a surge in guns moving from states with lax gun laws into states with tight gun laws. And while this trend had been going on for some time, it had really sort of accelerated over the last few years, particularly during the first year of the pandemic. And we found that a lot of these guns, were being found at violent crime scenes. And in particular, we zeroed in on a case where a gun had been purchased in Alabama, trafficked up to Boston, and used in the homicide of a teenage girl.
And Zusha, that story really illustrates how this trafficking works. Can you take us through the chain from that purchase of the firearm by a straw buyer? And you can tell us what that means and then how it goes on the road.
Yeah, so let's start with the very beginning with the gun purchase. What's really interesting about these trafficking networks is that it all begins with very low stakes and very little money. So a person without a criminal record doing a favor for a friend for a little bit of money goes into a store, legally purchases a gun, and then hands it off to a trafficker who brings it up through the states and ultimately sells it to some gang member or so forth. But the straw purchaser is really interesting, right? This person just goes into a store and buys a gun. In many cases, they're not even thinking where it's going to end up. And in many cases, when they get caught, they get very little punishment too. So the stakes are very low at the beginning of this trafficking network.
And then, Dan, how do the guns flow from the less gun control states to the more gun control states?
Well, the traffickers will typically transport the guns either by rental car, their own car, sometimes even by Greyhound bus. And then once they get to the destination city, which is often a place where they have some sort of connection, they will either set up shop, sometimes in somebody's house or apartment, or they will link up with somebody they know and unload the guns for sometimes double or triple the price that the initial straw purchaser bought the weapon for.
And Zusha, take us to Boston and the end of the trip for that gun. What happened when it arrived in Boston?
Right. So like we said, it started with a straw purchaser. This was a factory worker in Alabama who bought the gun. The gun was then brought up by either car or Greyhound bus. They don't quite know. It ends up in the streets of Boston and in the hands of a young man who carries the gun around with him on the streets of Boston. And then one day, according to his version of events, he thinks he's being followed and he shoots this young woman in broad daylight. It was a horrific tragedy. I mean, this was a very well-loved young woman. She was a basketball standout. She was beloved by many friends, and it really shocked the city. The mayor, the police commissioner, everyone showed up that day, and it really resounded. But few people knew where the gun had originated, and that's what our story really tells.
Dan, can you talk about the difficulty of enforcing either on the straw buyer, on the transport, the trafficking of the weapons?
There are a couple of things at play here that make these particular crimes really difficult to stop. Number one, when somebody goes in and buys a gun for somebody else, it's really hard to prove that they did anything illegal. You're not supposed to, or I should say it's against the law, to lie about who you're purchasing a gun for. But as you can imagine, trying to prosecute somebody for lying on a federal form can be challenging. Number two, when you have states with relaxed gun laws, where pretty much anybody can go in and into a gun store and buy a firearm, that creates, you know, an initial set of challenges for law enforcement. And then once those guns are trafficked up, in this case, up the Eastern Seaboard and into a city like Boston, they really disappear onto the streets. And so law enforcement, already several steps behind, will usually not find these weapons until they show up at a violent crime scene. And it's only then that they will run traces on these guns and discover, tragically, that they started off oftentimes with a legal purchase in a state like Alabama or Texas or Arizona, made by a straw purchaser.
And Zusha, in states that are recipients of these guns, and that includes our neighbors in Illinois, do we have a sense of how much a gun crime is connected to guns that traveled this path?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to look at the numbers, and you see in states like Massachusetts, California, and in places like Washington, D.C., the vast majority of crimes are carried out with guns from out of state. And what's really interesting is those percentages have increased in some of the states with the tightest gun laws. And what people theorize is that as states like California and Massachusetts tighten up gun laws and it's harder to buy guns locally, more guns are being trafficked from out of state.
Dan, are there efforts to try to, I don't know, step up enforcement or prevent those straw purchases in the first place?
Yeah, there's several different efforts, some at the federal level, some at the local level. The Biden administration has made gun trafficking a priority and trying to crack down on straw purchasing. Penalties have been enhanced in the newest gun control package that was passed by the Biden administration earlier this year. And then you have local law enforcement task forces, which are really trying to zero in on trafficking routes and trafficking operations to try and disrupt these networks. But as Zusha pointed out, it's really, really difficult to do until a violent crime has already taken place. And I think what was so sort of tragic in the story that we highlighted was that what started off as just this really seemingly innocuous purchase where you had a guy doing a favor to make a couple hundred bucks, not even that much in this case, for some folks that he knew, that weapon, that purchase ends up being used in a homicide months later.
Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And Zusha, thanks for being with us again.
Thank you so much.
Zusha Ellenson and Dan Frosch are reporters at the Wall Street Journal. We talked to them about their work analyzing and reporting on federal data about an uptick in guns being used for crimes those guns initially purchased in other states.